Loam Hedge, Disc 6.
Chapter 20. It was a long and wearying night, but the red wallers kept going. Pines grew thick about them, obscuring even the stars in the sky. Stumbling on through the dense carpet of rotting pine needles, Springall bumped into its tree trunk.
Ugh, there won't be a part of me that's undamaged if we go on at this rate. A torch would help us to see where we're going.
Bragoon urged her on.
Just keep going, missy. There'll be no torches. One spark can start a fire among pine trees and the whole woodland would be ablaze before he could blink. Besides, a torch would be like a beacon for those vermin to follow.
Springall felt foolish.
I'm sorry, I didn't realise.
The otter said nothing, but he was exhausted and bad-tempered after having to run all night burdened with Horsey. He snapped at the mouse maid.
"'Tis not much good being sorry now, Miss Mouse. If a new tree would have stayed put at the abbey, we wouldn't be in this fix.
Fenner came to her friend's defence.
We only came after you because we thought we could help. Besides, now that we're free, we can get on searching for Loam Hedge.
But Bragoon was not to be appeased.
Free, eh? Don't make me laugh. You think those rats won't come after us? Listen, I know rats. They won't rest till they've got us all in the cooking pot. Ask Sorrow. We fought flesh-eaters like them afore. The only way to make him give up is to kill him, and there's too many of the scum for that.
A quavery voice echoed out of nowhere.
Oh, far too many. They've eaten most of us, you know.
Bragoon stood stock still, his eyes scouring the night woods.
Who said that?
From a small hillock of pine needles built up round the base of a trunk, the voice answered.
If you remove your great heavy rudder from my neck, I'll tell you.
The otter leaped to one side as an old rabbit shoved his head through the mound.
Sorry to startle you like that, I'm sure. If the Darrat are hunting you, I'd be pleased to hide you. Only for a while, though. They eat any beast who harbours fugitives.
The ancient rabbit shrugged.
But Darrat will eat a creature for no reason at all. So, do you want me to hide you?
Sorrow indicated the unconscious Horsey.
Just until Listen's fit for travel again, thank ye.
The rabbit's name was Cosbro. He took them to the hollow log in which he lived. It was a cunningly contrived dwelling, a great elm trunk overgrown with all manner of moss and nettles. One end of it backed against a standing rock. The other was artfully concealed by thistles and wild lupins. Cosbro carefully parted these, creating a little gap which allowed them to squeeze through one at a time. Once they were all inside, the old rabbit rearranged the outer thistles and lupins, rendering the entrance invisible to the casual observer. Springall looked about. It was a very neat little home, lit by four lanterns containing fireflies, its illumination dim but adequate. They sat down on a carpet of dried grass and springy moss. Fenner made Horsey comfortable, remarking,
I've never heard of a rabbit living inside of a tree before.
Cosbro preened his meagre whiskers.
Neither have the Darrat, young'un. That's what makes it such a perfect place. I've often sat in here, listening to them digging holes as they searched for rabbits. They dig out anything that looks like a burrow. Clods. They have no imagination at all.
Bragoon smiled at the old one.
But where do the other rabbits around here live?
Cosbro shook his head sadly.
There are no other rabbits left. Only me, sitting inside this log. Poor fool that I am.
Sorrow patted his paw gently.
You ain't no fool, me friend. It takes a clever beast to survive in this country. How many rabbits were then? How'd you come to be living here?
Cosbro shrugged.
We were too many to count one time, long ago. Our families had no written history. All I have to remember my ancestors by are ancient poems and ballads passed down by word of mouth.